G'day.
G'day, mate.
How are you?
Oh, hey, look, I'm a bit, a little bit secondhand, a touch.
You look slightly sort of worn down, green around the gills there, not looking your freshest.
I'm not good.
It is 9 a.m.
Yes.
Which is...
And we're at work.
We're at work.
Which is, to be honest, quite rare for us these days, but...
Yeah, well, this early especially. Mm. You said it was the first time in a year you've seen the tube so busy.
I don't think I've been on the London Underground system at the between the hours of whenever they maybe... Eight o'clock and 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I haven't done that for at least a year.
Well, to be honest, I myself was falling asleep in the train, which is, the first time I think probably in a month...
That you slept.
That I woke... Well, yes, potentially that too, but...
Welcome back, by the way. Is this our first one back with you live in studio?
Indeed it is.
Oh, good shit.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Tell us about your travelling, man.
Oh, well, I've been sort of around French Riviera there, had a wee trip down to Bifa, and went down to the old Konos there.
Mm.
The Mick, as they would call it.
Yeah. Is that what they call it?
Not really.
Okay.
Just made that up on the spot. But it's been pretty hectic. Obviously, I've come back with a tan, as you can see. Unfortunately, the listeners really can't. But
I'm not sure I can either, to be honest, mate. You must have been hard up the SPF out there. Good on you.
50 plus, mate. It's got to be done. You know, these days with them strong
UV rays,
you've got to be careful.
They're going to get you.
They're going to get you over time, that's for sure.
No, well, hey, great stuff, mate. Well, I've just, as you know, been here slaving away. You've got some wine this morning for yourself.
I do indeed, but firstly, I think we should delve into your coffee there.
Because it's an espresso, so it's going to cool down. This is the office coffee, so I'm just going to give you a review on that. I've already had a bit of a slug, so here we go again.
Now, the reason why James is actually having coffee right now is mainly due to the fact that...
I don't think I can look at another glass of wine. But that coffee's actually quite nice.
You've had a pretty rough evening, didn't you?
I didn't have a rough evening. I had a great evening. But as I've sort of touched on, regular listeners will be aware, I'm sort of currently going through my midlife crisis. And so I just can't
massively
drink like I used to. So I had a pleasant evening. And as you saw, I wasn't drunk.
No, you just...
I just drank too much than I usually do. And now I feel a bit rough for it.
Well, yeah, green around the gills. It's the classic, really. I've been in that state many a times. How's the coffee, mate?
Pretty good, actually. Really good. Yeah, it's needed for a start.
Italian-y?
Yeah, not that Italian. It's a nice sort of smooth sort of flatness to it. You know, that kind of the aftertaste that's sort of a little bit bitter and lingers around. That's very, it's covering a lot of bases. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's covering a lot of territory in my mouth right now.
Yeah, I see. I don't know.
That sounds a bit. And on the coffee, I'd say for a machine coffee out of an office, I'd give that a solid 7. Actually, to be fair,
that's amazing.
I'd say, so office coffee. I'm gonna hazard a guess here, mate. This might be a hot take, but hold on to your hat. At a 7, I'm gonna say that the office coffee is gonna be better than the office wine.
Well, to be honest, mate. You know, obviously we've tried.
Would you mind if I finish your water?
No, you can. Thanks. Absolutely. So last time we tried the old Madame F in the office.
Didn't review well.
Didn't review well. So we've gone down a sort of a different route because, you know, it just cannot be done. So we've gone back to France.
Yep.
Gone towards the Chateau d'Escalon.
Okay.
Very French Provence. Rosé.
It sounds made up.
It isn't, actually. Okay. It's Whispering Angel.
Oh, okay.
Chateau d'Escalon.
There you go.
I just didn't want to mention Whispering Angel because, obviously, such sentence or such words remind me of fake tan, Brits, south of France, south of Spain.
Yeah.
Just anything that you
fake
really
teeth.
Don't... Yeah, exactly. Yep. You don't want to listen to those things as you're tasting your wine. So, hence, I kept the sort of Whispering Angel name out.
Well, I think my theory on Whispering Angel is that if you drink Whispering Angel,
yes.
You don't know how to pronounce it. I've never heard anyone who drinks it say Whispering Angel. It's always Whispering Angel.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
You know, it's that demographic, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you mean.
Mm.
Well, firstly, it's not even Whisper an Angel. That's just the name of
it's
the
it's shit wine
brand.
With a nice label designed for idiots.
Very much like Dom Perignon.
Oh, I'm gonna take that slightly personally.
Well, you see, the problem is I get quite digestive issues with the old Dom Perignon.
You can't blame Dom Perignon for your IBS.
True. But it definitely doesn't help when I find that certain champagnes actually help, actually.
Yeah. But we're really dragging this wine.
let me review this on a quick.
Tuck it. This is the first time it's been tried out of a mug as well, by the way, so it might score slightly differently.
As we said, it is 9 o'clock in the morning. We're not trying to advertise the fact that we're drinking a glass of red at this time.
But we literally are. We're doing a podcast and it's going on the internet. But anyway.
Foul.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Mm.
Sort of everything you can... There is an eerie comparison between this wine and fake teeth and fake tan.
Interesting.
And fake blondes.
Sort of a motif.
Yes.
Mm.
Sort of very south of Spain English.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. You've spent a lot of time around the south of Spain English recently.
I have. Now, obviously, being in Ibiza, I did not go to O Beach.
No.
I didn't want to dip my toes in a pool that's more brown than blue.
And hey, look, if you're an O Beacher, then hey, kia kaha, good, you know.
Yeah, no.
Power to you, but it's not for us. I'm sure it's a lot of fun.
I'll stay as far away as I can from Wayne Lineker.
Yeah, I think that's wise. And you're not even a woman.
Exactly.
Anyway, should we move on to some news?
We've got some big old news. Well, we had our first race weekend in a while.
Yes,
with
IndyCar. Yeah, we did.
Pretty hectic.
Yeah, it was a classic IndyCar oval race, and it was shit boring up until the last 20% of it.
Well, I think the first 15 laps was amazing.
Yeah, they're pretty
then
good.
There was a massive period of, I don't really know what's going on.
It was actually pretty, now to be fair, there was a relatively steady, consistent number of decent-sized shunts and accidents. There were incidents and accidents, hints and allegations. And it wasn't too bad. Marcus did well, just kept his head down, kept the car straight and brought
pretty much. I don't think he was probably on the best strategy for it, but that's
no
the
one really
the
was
ovals.
Yeah,
it was, unless you the Penske's really,
unless you had that Penske power, you were probably struggling a little bit.
Yeah,
the Andretti's were rapid as well, actually.
Yes,
so
indeed.
It wasn't just a Chevy thing. I think I'm
a little bit gutted for one person in particular, and that's Dave Malukas.
Maluk, yeah,
because he was looking for a win. But
I mean, so like friend of the show,
yeah, great
friend of mine, yeah, you know. But fuck, that was funny when Will Power came. Fucking just...
Mate, I called you. I sent you a voice message. I'm pretty sure I can replay it, but not much is actually heard in the message out of the fact that I was pretty much pissing myself the whole time. But poor old Dave there, giving us the interview on the border of tears. And
when he gave his interview, he said, like... when the Willpower just came by and like he screamed at me. It was so funny.
Well, it's one of those where the poor geezer, you know, he's just been going around trying to do a move down the inside,
out there doing his best.
Willpower's just absolutely
turned down,
chopped him. Like, I don't think I've ever seen that big of a chop at those speeds, you know.
I know,
poor man hit it backwards into the wall, spinning out. And then Will Power's got the audacity to walk up to him and start shouting, saying,
so
what
I don't think he walked up to him. So I think if I've understood right the broadcast, and again, I've only seen the broadcast, I don't understand the full picture. I should explain this. This isn't exactly what happened. This is my interpretation based on the broadcast and what I saw.
Yeah.
So Will was kicking off on the pit wall. He was out there like yelling at the engineers, whatever. I'm assuming about...
the restart.
I assume about Joseph. And then and then he sort of calmed down for a second. And then he saw somebody who I now believe might have been David Malukas. And I saw you see him point and just go, fuck you, motherfucker. It's just gold. I just love an angry Will Power. It's the funniest thing in the world.
It is definitely hilarious. Although I find that in that particular situation, poor Dave.
Absolutely. No, he's quite right. And I'm sure that they've probably been in touch afterwards now.
100%.
And all apologizing. It's all fine. You said, I believe in your track limits. But, you know, these people aren't stupid. They get your reaction 2 seconds after you get out of the car and you haven't actually seen
a
replay
course.
Yet.
Of course. I mean, that's obviously, it's always going to hurt for Dave, for example, in the position that he was in. But obviously, Will's just come out. He's had a massive shunt down the main straight. He sees the guy that he sort of had contact with. Let's be honest, if there's anybody at fault in that incident, it's willpower. But I'm a racing driver. Yeah. When I have an incident with someone, most of the time I blame it on them. Even once I've watched the replay, it takes a couple of days for me to cool down and go, well, that's pretty fucking stupid, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, there was that time that you made the afters slightly awkward for all of about 25 minutes with JM in Melbourne because you two crashed into each other in the feature. I think one of you or the other one did a front wing, which isn't cheap. We won't go into the numbers.
I think it was JM.
The mood was glum.
It was tense, to say the least. But obviously,
a couple of Heinekens down us, and we were off to the races. You know, we were all friends here. And I'm sure the IndyCar drivers have made up.
Yeah, oh no, 100%. I think that generally those things don't last particularly long. But looking back at that, with JM, I'm pretty sure it was his fault.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was too. I haven't seen it.
I can't even remember it. But we'll move on from that. What about the biggest issue that's happened last weekend?
I can't wait
restart.
To hear this. Oh, the restart, yeah. So you want to go toe-to-toe with me on this one, because you replied to my little hard-to-swallow pill story.
I did indeed.
Mate, Newgarden had he was fine. Constant speed, constant revs, and he picked up the throttle.
The only problem is he was out of that zone. He was out of the restart zone, I believe. Because the race director normally gives you a zone in which you have to start accelerating, because as we've seen in Formula 1, the biggest issue is if you keep it slowed down until the line, seen it in F1, F2, F3, IndyCar, whatever it is, if you keep it slow until the line, somebody's going to try and, let's say, anticipate when you're going. And that's when a shunt happens behind.
But he definitely, restart zone, or I haven't looked at the restart zone detail, but the speed, I don't think Joseph Newgarden sped up, slowed down, sped up again.
No, I probably didn't, but I mean, to be honest, I think he could have probably ridden the brakes and actually slowed himself down without changing the engine note too much.
But I'll tell you one thing.
I think the fact that he was restarting so late caused that incident more than the guys behind, because you could tell that McLaughlin was literally trying to anticipate when he was going to go. Mm. He did just before the restart. Otherwise, if he'd accelerated at the same time, the gap would have widened up, but not that much.
Yeah.
He got a massive jump.
But so here's my argument, right? So do you know who else would have done that leading the race on the last couple of laps to try and secure the win? Fucking every driver on the fucking planet.
Yes, I agree.
You know what I mean?
But then you look at the second restart that happened, obviously, after the red flag.
Yeah.
He decided to take off much earlier, and he was mint.
Yeah, because everyone was waiting for him to do the same thing again. That's just basic mind games.
Not really, because obviously if he's coming if he's coming under so much stick after the first restart, which he probably has
on the radio. If Will Power gets out of the car, and Will Power was already out of the car hooping and hollering, I would not be on the radio to you going,
it's not
hey, by the way,
radio.
Will's real fucked off with you.
It's not about, I'm pretty sure he realised Will was fucked off with him.
He would have been able to see the video screens.
As Will came over the pit wall, he threw him a massive finger.
That is true. I forgot about that.
To be honest, when you get those kind of this kind of feedback, you know you've probably done something that's pissed a few people off.
Yeah. But you know, we had a similar discussion yesterday. I fucking love that.
Oh, so do I. Yeah. I love a bit of beef. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm Joseph Newgarden's biggest fan. I'm not. I don't know him, so I can't tell you how he is in person. But I wouldn't say I'm his biggest fan.
I sat behind his wife once in a suite watching the Long Beach.
You were what
Grand
behind
Prix.
His wife?
I was behind his wife in a suite watching the Long Beach Grand Prix one, and she seemed lovely. So,
I have no doubt they're probably very lovely people. But looking from the outside, let's say he's not. Wouldn't say I'm a big fan. But yeah, I am very.
I don't get it, to be honest. I actually, you know,
I'm impressed by what he does. Like, I respect him. I respect what he does a lot.
Yeah.
But you know, you've got your favorite drivers.
Sure,
I love a Pillow.
Yeah. Oh, look, I never sit down to watch an IndyCar race hoping that Joseph Newgarden wins. It's Scott Marcus,
exactly.
But you know, I don't see it. It just seems like
I'm a big fan of Pillow, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I find him very Max Verstappen-esque.
He is, actually. Yeah.
He doesn't make a mistake, and he's always... Like, I'm sorry, but that 10 car should have ended up in the wall at some point in that race.
Oh, absolutely.
There was about 16 incidents around him.
And actually, just another quick rant, just like IndyCar social media, another quick rap for Joseph Newgarden, that save. Pretty good.
Oh, Mighty.
And actually, shout out to a friend of the show and one of my clients, former clients, Callum Hedge, had a similar save in Indy Lights. That was
huge.
Pretty good.
Beautiful.
That was pretty good.
To be honest, if you can hold a car like that in Indy Lights, you deserve a drive in IndyCar. That car control was...
That was good. Callum's actually impressive. A really good peddler. In Porsches and stuff, he was very, very good in Australia. So I think Callum Hedge could well be one of the next Kiwi we see in IndyCar quite easily.
Well...
Oh, unless Hot Boy Hunter McElroy gets a ride. That'd be great.
Hot Boy Hunter.
Oh, shout out.
Good-looking bastard.
Anyway, so Formula One news? Is there any more IndyCar that you'd like to cover?
Not particularly, no.
Championship looks done, doesn't it?
Pretty much. Yep. I mean, unless Alex Palou's got a massive shitter in the last three races or four
races.
Which
has happened when in history?
Never.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all kind of come undone.
It's hello, Palou!
And it's for championship number three, I'm pretty sure.
Is that three on the bounce? No, three out of four.
No, it would be three out of four, yeah.
Yeah, not bad.
It's all right for a...
That's good pesting.
It is great pesting, if you ask me. But on the F1 front, obviously, we've seen...
No news. Race week. It's race week.
It is race week.
Close to our hearts.
Indeed. Did we mention Ollie Oakes getting the team principal at Alpine last week?
We have now.
We have now. So, yeah, that's probably the biggest news that's happened in the last week.
And it'll be interesting to see a Russian back in Formula One.
Indeed. Let's see. Mm. Also, on the other end, you're saying that you don't believe Liam's got a shot anymore, really.
Thanks for quoting a conversation that we had over a glass of wine directly on the podcast that we put on the internet. But no, I feel like...
No, you think it's lowering.
I think the doctor is losing his influence in the team.
Yeah.
Based off what we've seen, especially around the decisions made with Perez, etc. You know, fairly commercial decisions. Doesn't take many fuckwits.
No, but I kind of understand what you mean in the sense that the longer it takes for Red Bull to announce it, I think the more...
I fear it's getting less and less likely every day that it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I'd love to see Liam in F1.
Obviously. I think everybody would. Neutrals and fans alike, you know. But even then, I mean, Ricardo, again, I don't know how much commercialism Ricardo has behind him.
And to be honest, there's one thing we've got to mention as well, is Isaac Hadjar's leading the championship in F2, and he is a Red Bull driver.
Yeah.
And so what's going to happen in that whole saga?
And Liam didn't win Formula 2.
If you win Formula 2, and especially at Red Bull, which is used to promoting... You know, talent.
And French.
And, So let's see.
A lot more Red Bull customers in France than there is in New Zealand.
Oh, let's see. I don't think Red Bull particularly need extra
They're not
extra
looking for
customers.
A cash injection. I know, but again, that raises the question around Perez. You know, I'm sure they're selling enough drinks, but, you know,
I think it's for the sponsor money coming in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, overall, pretty steady. But, yeah, going back to Zandvoort this week.
Oh.
What a race for us, eh?
Yeah, no F2. So you'll be the reigning winner for another year.
Well, to be honest, I
don't...
Do you
think we can get another invite for the Dutch King's after party?
We could, probably. Yeah. I mean, if we just tell him, look, mate, there's F2.
I'm still the last winner at Formula 2.
Technically still winner around there.
And the only winner for... How many months can we tally up? So if we go another 12 months from now...
Yeah, I doubt that Zandvoort... obviously, there's a bit of uncertainty around Zandvoort remaining on the calendar.
So if Zandvoort drops off the calendar, which I hope it doesn't, one of my favourite tracks, you could be the only Formula 2 winner there ever.
No, the year before.
Was there Formula 2 there the year before,
though? Yeah, I finished second there with Marcus.
Oh, of course
you did.
Yeah.
No, I'd be the last.
Well, so you and Marcus and one other, whoever won on... The feature on the Sunday.
We can't really count the first race, the sprint which we did last year, which was only about six laps.
Wanker race. there wasn't a winner. They didn't count it at all. There wasn't a winner of that race.
Was there not?
No.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so you and Marcus and somebody else, somebody can search this up, are the only winners at Zandvoort in Formula 2 ever.
Sounds pretty fucking good to me, mate.
Yeah, we'll take what we can get, eh?
There's two out of three for screaming meals.
Yeah, there you go. Kia kaha.
Big time.
So is that the Formula 1 news wraps up?
Pretty much, yeah. Should we step into the old crisis room?
Yeah, may as well.
Let me just find...
Just push any old
one.
Yeah.
Just like... Should I go...
Go bottom
E?
Middle. Bottom middle.
Bottom
why
middle?
Not?
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I've heard that one before.
Yep, not proud of that joke. Anyway, here is the... Oh, I've got a text. Oh, it's Robert from a team that I won't name. Hey, Robert. Right. The crisis that I've got for you this week, mate. I think everyone's spunk's no good. So there's the headline is global fertility crisis is worse than you think.
It's worse than I think, or worse than the world thinks?
Well, they haven't specified, but I don't know if they've written. This is from The Spectator.
Okay. Great newspaper.
I don't think it's targeted articles towards you, perhaps. So I think they've assumed that we don't know much about fertility.
Okay.
Which we don't, unless you...
No, I do.
Okay, interesting. All right, well, maybe we can... maybe I'll learn something
here. My biology background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that you... Okay.
I know plenty about fertility.
Right. For anyone tempted to try to predict humanity's future, Paul... Huh? Okay, somebody wrote a book in 1968 about population. I'm not going to try and pronounce his last name. I'm not going to read the entire article, but basically, I'm going to try and get the...
No more babies.
People are slowing down on the kid front. Well, I see that they're selling more pet prams in South Korea now than they do child prams.
Sorry?
Mm.
Well, that is a statistic I didn't know about. I think on my end, people are enjoying, as Max Verstappen and Sebastian Vettel would say, they're enjoying quite a lot of free practice.
Mm. Yes,
but
yes.
They're not delivering in the race. You know, they don't want to, per se.
So basically, the UN's done some numbers.
Oh, good. That's a reliable source normally.
Is it? And so basically the fertility rate that you want to basically keep the human population level is 2 to 1. So two, whatever that means. And last year the world was at 2.25. So we're not too far away from moving back in the other direction. Because Musk has a theory on this, isn't he? He's pumping everyone. He's just, he's just getting his seed out there, you know?
Is he?
He's really spraying it around.
Oh, well, good on him. I think generally speaking, the nature works in mysterious ways.
Mm.
And let's say the population of the world's been increasing pretty exponentially for the last 60 years. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if a drop in fertility is based...
There's a lot of phone chat, isn't there? They always say your mobile phone's bad for your bolos there.
Yeah, well, they're pretty much around your bolos all day.
Mm.
When you keep it in your pockets.
Restrictive underwear, apparently, as well, isn't
great. Doesn't help.
So if you're running a big operation.
Especially with the heat.
Yes. Oh, is that so?
Of course.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen before, but your bolos move depending on heat.
Okay.
Hence, yeah. I think heat is very important. And...
okay. If this is your fertility expertise coming through, I think you might have thrown out some false claims earlier.
No, I didn't. how do I recover this one?
Keep that semen mobile, you know?
How do I recover this one?
I can't wait to see how. So your balls... Okay, your balls... All right.
Your balls move.
There's movement.
Well, I don't know.
There's an active balls.
Indeed, very active.
We've got to get some grip back here. We've got to find some traction.
No, for sure. But I think obviously today, in today's world especially... you know, we talk a lot about equality mm-hmm. in the workplace and in general.
I can't wait to see where you're going with this.
No. This is a genuine fact.
Okay, great.
So I think because obviously women are, let's say, going to... Stop.
Sorry, I've just made a face at Clint.
No, but...
Carry on.
Let me settle down.
Yeah, find
neutral. Because they've got a lot more opportunities now to work regular jobs, Than in the past.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of women don't actually want kids that early, and they want them later because they want to be able to work for throughout their career. And so as a result, potentially have less children.
Yes.
Because let's say they just don't have that much time.
And I mean, how much less admin is a dog?
Oh,
how much less admin is a dog?
I mean, you've got to feed it and make sure it doesn't have a pee-pee and a poo-poo inside.
Enthusiast. Yeah. I mean, as a guy, it's always easy to think about. You know, I guess we're probably wired to go. And we're going quite Joe Rogan here. We're probably wired to just go, you know, hunt and gather kind of mentality. And so we work. And then when you start dating someone and she's working, you go, oh, yeah, fuck, this actually might. How's this going to work if we want children? You know, it's an interesting thing to tackle in your mind.
Especially,
as a fast approaching 27-year-old man.
Yeah, when are you having kids? Life.
Yeah, probably next week.
Oh, really?
No, I've got absolutely no time soon whatsoever. If anyone's pieced together information over the last few weeks, they'll probably figure that out. But
I may have a kid already.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, as far as I'm aware, I'm childless.
So am I, apparently.
I reckon that they would have come knocking on the door by now.
Probably, yeah, no, most definitely. But, yeah, no, I think in general, the way the populace is going, they're focusing more on jobs. People are having less kids early, let's say. Okay, people are getting married a bit older as well.
It's a career thing, you reckon? Yeah, I think you're not far off. Well, it's fucking hard. The bloody, what are they talking about? The inflation rates and all that kind of carry on, cost of living crisis.
As well. How do you want to raise a kid in today's economy?
Yeah, so I don't think, maybe the mobile phones and people are still horny and everything. But
I think the mobile phones definitely aren't great,
because obviously you probably hear more and more, or maybe I hear more.
I think it's
more
the radio waves around the bullus.
Well, because I have friends who are trying to have kids now and all that kind of, so you hear about these problems, I guess, more. So maybe we think it's more common.
Yeah, I think
we
also
just those conversations more frequently.
Well, the thing is, I think the fertility numbers are pretty, they're probably related somewhat to the lifestyle.
Do you know what your sperm count is?
I think it's pretty high.
Yeah?
I've heard I've got some good swimmers.
Okay. Maybe we could do a Screaming Meals day. I've got no idea what my sperm count is.
Oh, yeah, we should do.
We should do that. Hedge your bets. We could, you know, people can, maybe we could even get a sort of gambling pool going on it. So who's got the highest sperm count between Novalak and Blair? And I'm getting Armstrong involved. I bet he's running for single figures. Single digit numbers.
I don't even know if he'd want to go. Trying to keep some in the store. Oh.
Right, that's another episode of Flames Flying.
Yeah, I think we should probably wrap it up
there,
mate.
I think we need to wrap it up here before
we've got to go to a meeting anyways. We've got to run along, so
incriminate ourselves further. This could be the last one.
Oh, I don't think so.
That would be right. Hey, hopefully we'll see you next week, Sam.
No, we should do, because obviously we're racing in Spa this week.
Yes, you're racing in Spa. Good luck.
You've got your birthday this week.
Yeah, I turn 27 on Sunday.
Jesus.
Yep.
You don't look a day over 16, brother.
Thanks, mate.
And yeah, so big week. And then obviously we'll see you all next week with a bit more F1 chat. Bit more F2.
There will be a bit more F1 chat.
No F2 chat. Some IndyCar chat.
Yep, we're just describing the podcast at this point. And there'll be wine too. See you then.
And a crisis.
Hey, we'll both be there too. See you. Well, this is getting silly now.
Kia kaha. Cheers, sickos.
Just push the button.